Oh yes, ladies and gentlemen, American music. Welcome again to Super Legend Radio. I am Frankie Delmaine, your host, and we're going to get into something fairly interesting this time around that I decided to go over. And that is, in the 1980s, there was a strain of populist rock and roll being constructed that attempted to cash in on the popularity of the blue-collar, working-class, heartland, roots rock riding high on the pop charts through the likes of Bruce Springsteen, John Cougar Mellencamp, Tom Petty, Huey Lewis, Brian Adams, even toss Bon Jovi into that, I guess. It was a big thing happening in the 80s that kind of was an outgrowth of the lack of rock and roll, specifically populist rock and roll on the radio in the early 80s, which was kind of dominated by new wave in many ways, and synth pop and other things of that nature. And then, of course, rock and roll itself got navigated into basically heavy metal and glam rock, and then it splintered off into all these other weird little subgenres, Paisley Underground, punk rock, hardcore, etc., etc. But right down the middle, there was a whole bunch of bands that really wanted to create music that defined the mainstream ideal of what rock and roll should sound like in reaction to the relative commercial failings of punk and power pop, to take over and redirect the musical dialogue for guitar-driven hit songs. So starting in the early 80s, in earnest, many of these bands initially grew from more cutting-edge aggregations. Frustrated by a lack of success, they took a direct line from 1960s rock and pop music, mainly CCR, The Byrds, The Beatles, garage rock, and country rock, you know, creating and crafting an updated hybrid that looked to return the good time spirit, songwriting acumen, and populist come-together vibe that had been de rigueur in the 1960s and early 1970s, that basically got blown apart into numerous subgenres, as I mentioned, pulling the kids across the American musical landscape into a myriad of scenes for all specifications. So many of these new bands released independent LPs and EPs that garnered enough in local sales, underground attention, or critical approval to get the major labels to come banging, offering contracts galore. They simply smelled money. So as much as the opportunity to work with bands and artists very much interested in being successful and compliant to the aesthetic needs of the marketplace. And so began the great mid-80s exploitation of rootsy heartland rock and roll, as filtered through many production tricks of the day, with hungry A&R men hoping the success of everything from Born in the USA, Farm Aid, and Crossover Pop Country, to REO Speedwagon and the Reagan administration to bolster sales and steal back a huge audience from the splinter groups so many had run to. So I think we're going to kick this first segment off with, well, let's just say one of those many, many bands that didn't really reach a larger audience, as many on this list in the podcast today, you will notice, had a similar fate. This is the Brandos with The Matter of Survival.
Did you eat it? Bye.
Yes, that was the Textones with Standing in the Line, a band formed by Carla Olson in 1978 after she moved from Austin, Texas to L.A., and that's from their 1984 debut LP, Midnight Mission. She did a lot of work with Gene Clark of the Byrds, actually, during her tenure here in the 80s. She still lives here. Before that, we had a band called The Broken Homes with Steel Town Blues Town from their 1986 debut self-titled LP on MCA Records, formed by Mike Doman from Philadelphia. Their sound, you know, is all drenched in that sort of Stones, Georgia Satellites, Joan Jett. Steve Bators was a big fan, I guess, early on with those guys. And that guitar player from that band, Craig Ross, he went on to play with Lenny Kravitz. And before that, we had the True Believers with Tell Her from their only LP on Rounder Records, 1986, formed in 1982 by Alejandro Escovedo, formerly of the punk band The Nuns, and Rank and File. And his brother, Javier, from The Zeros, was also in the band. You know, they were trying to do that 60s garage rock and possible Paisley Underground with the neo-garage scene, but kind of in a commercial arena rock way. And before that, we had the Cruzados, former members of the Plugs, with Hanging Out in California from their 1985 self-titled debut LP on Arista Records. Very 60s influenced sort of singer-songwriter. That singer kind of sounds like Don Henley from the Eagles, though. It's really weird. And of course, we kicked off that set with a band called The Brandos from New York City. Speaking of New York City, here we are with The Downlords and A Burning in the Flame of Love.
I'm
Those are some rootsy motherfuckers from Atlanta called Driving and Crying. Called that song Can't Promise You the World from 1988's The Whisper Tame as the Lion LP, their second record. They kind of follow in that sort of Soul Asylum Black Crows tradition, which were two bands that kept this sort of feeling and sound alive in the 90s for all the American rock and roll fans who felt left out by the more dour, downbeat grunge scene or the hipster punk scenes or whatever else was going on in the 90s. And before that was Jason and the Scorchers with White Lies. They were kind of the first cowpunk band, I think, or one of the earliest cowpunk bands that started in like 1981 or 82. That's from their 1985 major label debut LP, Lost and Found. They came out of Nashville via Illinois, of all places. And before that was, of course, the very famous Smithereens with Only a Memory. Pat DiNizio, the singer-songwriter, just recently passed away. You know, big Birds, Beatles, derivatives. People absolutely love that band. They had a good run in the 80s there. Some minor hits, a couple gold records. So they were kind of like what some of these bands looked up to see for commercial potential to do what they would have liked to have done. And before that, we had the Beat Farmers with Couldn't Sail at the Church from the 1986 LP Van Gogh. They were formed in 1983, also a cowpunk, hard, twang, Americana, country rock, rockabilly, roots rock, jangle pop, garage rock band. And of course, I started that whole set off with the Del Lords, which is a New York sort of roots rock and roll, rip-roaring band, Springsteen, Stones, Who, Kinks kind of thing in there. Got some good Brill Building songwriting touches, I believe. I like Scott Kempner's songwriting. And many of these bands ended up touring with a lot of those groups that I talked about earlier that were popular. You know, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers and Bruce Springsteen and Bryan Adams and all those sort of heartland rock bands that were so popular in the 80s with the American audiences. And many of them bands were openers. Many of these bands were openers for those more major stars. It was a really interesting scene. I think it was the people from the 70s who still wanted their singer-songwriter fix, but also kind of wanted to rock at the same time. It was an interesting hybrid that I think is very specific to the 1980s, and it didn't make it out of there alive. I mean, musical trends change. People don't like to be that earnest. Everybody wants to be cool. All right, we're going to kick off the next set with a band from Wisconsin called the Bodines. That's all.
Because she was there, and I was there, that's all. Thank you. Oh, so many ways to be wicked. Oh, so many ways. That, ladies and gentlemen, was Lone Justice with Ways to Be Wicked, written by Tom Petty and Mike Campbell, for the band's 1985 debut LP. Apparently their A&R person did not think any of their songs were strong enough as a single, so they got Tom Petty to give them a tune. Still wasn't a hit, but Maria McKee's fantastically wonderful voice really sells that baby. And before that, we had Rank and File with The Sound of the Rain. That is Chip and Tony Kinman from punk band The Dills, after they went country rock or cowpunk or whatever people in L.A. were calling it at that time. That is from 1984's Long Gone Dead. And speaking of Long Gone Dead, Tony Kinman sadly passed away a few months back. And before that, we had Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania's The Rave-Ups with Freedom Bound from 1988's Book of Your Regrets. They were that band you saw in the movie Pretty in Pink. Before that, we had the Del Fuegos, a Boston group that was really into sort of raw, garagey rock and roll. Had a lot of potential there at the beginning, toured with Tom Petty, I believe. Sort of ruined their career by doing a lousy beer commercial, which I put in this podcast. I don't know why it ruined their career. I guess at the time, people were less inclined to forgive rock bands for being in beer commercials. And nowadays, most people in rock bands would go running for a beer commercial because that kind of moolah is, that'll keep you on the road for a while. So, anyways, Del Fuegos, It's All Right from 1985's Boston Mass LP. And, of course, we kicked off that whole session with a Wisconsin band called the Bodines, and that's all. Those guys are kind of almost like the king of heartland rock in many ways. They personify sort of everything about the genre in which I'm speaking about. Because I'm not speaking about people who were more aesthetically inclined to different things. These are bands that wanted to sell records, that wanted to have hit songs, that wanted to share radio space with Madonna. So that's why the music sounds the way it does. So anyways, wrapping this entire thing up is one of the ultimate bands of that era, the Long Riders. And this is called Babies in Toyland from their last LP, Two Fisted Tales, from 1987. They were Gene Clark obsessives, and I think that they are a prime example of this style of music. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Baby's gone down the toilet, shopping for a brand new gun. Oh, baby's gone down the toilet, that's how our whole life's been run. It's run off the backs of those who have no shame. It's run down in into a daytime. got baby bulls out on the street. It's your out of state needs to end. No more will a boy who's fading make her feel she's nothing to send.